Frequently Asked Questions. On May 30, 1539, Hernando de Soto landed his private army near Tampa Bay in Florida. De Soto was a novel figure, half warrior, half venture capitalist. He grew very rich very young in Spanish America by becoming a market leader in the nascent slave trade. The profits helped to fund the conquest of the Inca, which made De Soto wealthier still. He accompanied Pizarro to Tawantinsuyo, burnishing his reputation for brutality. He personally tortured Chalcochima, Atahualpa's chief general, before his execution. Literally looking for new worlds to conquer, De Soto returned to Spain soon after his exploits in Peru. In Charles V's court, he persuaded the bored monarch to let him loose in North America with an expedition of his own. He sailed to Florida with 600 soldiers, 200 horses, and 300 pigs. From today's perspective, it is difficult to imagine the ethical system that could justify De Soto's subsequent actions. For 4 years, his force wandered through what are now Florida, Georgia, North and South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas, and Louisiana, looking for gold and wrecking most everything it touched. The inhabitants often fought back vigorously, but they were baffled by the Spaniards' motives and astounded by the sight and sound of horses and guns. De Soto died of fever with his expedition in ruins. Along the way, though, he managed to rape, torture, enslave, and kill countless Indians. But the worst thing he did, some researchers say, was entirely without malice. He brought pigs. According to Charles Hudson, an anthropologist at the University of Georgia who spent 15 years reconstructing De Soto's path, the expedition built barges and crossed the Mississippi a few miles downstream from the present site of Memphis. It was a nervous time. Every afternoon, one of the force later recalled, several thousand Indian soldiers approached in canoes to within a stone's throw of the Spanish and mocked them as they labored. The Indians, painted with ochre, wore plumes of many colors, having feathered shields in their hands with which they sheltered the oarsmen on either side, the warriors standing erect from bow to stern, holding bows and arrows. Utterly without fear, De Soto ignored the taunts and occasional volleys of arrows and poled over the river into what is now eastern Arkansas, a land thickly set with great towns, according to the account, two or three of them to be seen from one. Each city protected itself with earthen walls, sizable moats, and dead-eye archers. In his brazen fashion, De Soto marched right in, demanded food, and marched out. After De Soto left, no Europeans visited this part of the Mississippi Valley for more than a century. Early in 1682, white people appeared again, this time Frenchmen in canoes. In one seat was René Robert Cavelier, Sieur de La Salle. La Salle passed through the area where De Soto had found cities cheek by jowl. It was deserted. The French didn't see an Indian village for 200 miles. About 50 settlements existed in this strip of the Mississippi when De Soto showed up, according to Ann Ramanowski, an archaeologist at the University of New Mexico. By La Salle's time, the number had shrunk to perhaps 10, some probably inhabited by recent immigrants. De Soto had a privileged glimpse of an Indian world, Hudson told me. The window opened and slammed shut. When the French came in and the record opened up again, it was a transformed reality. A civilization crumbled. The question is, how did this happen? Today, most historians and anthropologists believe the culprit was disease. In the view of Ramanowski and Patricia Galloway, an anthropologist at the University of Texas, the source of contagion was very likely not De Soto's army, but its ambulatory meat locker, his 300 pigs.